You're about to take a deep dive into one of the biggest true crime cases in the universe, or at least on our part of the planet. From the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
It's kind of wild, man. How much we get into like fictional stuff. I'm talking full on fandom here, like pre-ordering that next book way in advance, or, you know, wearing that band's t-shirt, like way past its expiration date.
Yeah.
But what about when it's not fictional? Like, imagine being a fan of someone, but they've been accused of, well, awful crimes. That's what we're getting into today with the case of Brian Koberger.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit unsettling to think about, but I think it's more important to, you know, really dive into the why. Why are some people, and it seems to be women in particular, drawn to figures like Koberger? It's not about, you know, saying what they allegedly did was okay. It's about trying to understand the psychology of it all, right?
And this is something we've seen a lot of with this case in the news, especially, you know, even just that new mugshot that was released.
Mm-hmm.
It set off this whole wave of like online obsession, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting how a photo can do that, right? Like, you had people making comments about, oh, he looks like a movie star, or I like the scruff, which is a stark contrast to the accusations against him, to say the least.
Yeah, and it's not just like passing comments either. We're talking handwritten letters, hearts, stars, the whole nine yards, all going to his jail cell. And then there's Brittany Hislop calling Koberger her twin flame. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So like, where do we even begin to unpack that?
Well, it's easy to just say, oh, that's crazy, right? But even these reactions that make us uncomfortable, they come from somewhere. Like, take hybristophilia, for example.
I've heard that term thrown around, but honestly, I'm not sure I totally get it beyond like being attracted to criminals,
yeah.
You know?
Right, so it's definitely more complicated than that, and even a little controversial. Essentially, it suggests that some people are sexually attracted to people who have committed really awful acts. There are a lot of different ways to interpret that. Some connect it to wanting notoriety by association, others to a need for control or an attraction to danger. But even with a term like that, it doesn't explain everything. There's a whole bunch of reasons this could be happening. And to really get it, we need to look at the individual and the whole cultural side of things too.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've got hybristophilia, which might be part of it for some people, but definitely not the whole picture. Then you have all these specific things about Koberger, those letters, the stuff people say online that really make you wonder what's going through their minds. And this whole thing about it being women specifically, that's something I wanted to try to understand going into this deep dive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where it gets especially interesting. One theory that might apply here is this idea of the blank slate. So think about it. Someone like Koberger, even with the accusations, he's often presented in the media without a lot of detail about like his actual personality. And that lack of information, kind of ironically, lets people project onto him.
So it's like he becomes this blank canvas for whatever someone wants to see in him.
Exactly. And that really connects to these parasocial relationships that happen online. People feel like they know these figures through the media, online interactions, even if it's one-sided.
Okay, yeah, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
So it's maybe not so much about Koberger himself, but more about what he represents to these women, right? This parasocial thing.
Right. And that kind of connection can be really powerful, especially for someone who maybe craves control, maybe due to past trauma or times they felt powerless.
That's a really interesting thought. So we're talking about a bunch of different factors potentially coming together. The mystery of it all, this desire for control, and then that parasocial relationship where people can like create their own narrative.
Yeah, and we can't forget how much of an impact the media has these days, especially like true crime stuff. It's not just about the facts anymore. It's about creating a narrative, often exaggerating things to pull people in.
It's almost like our brains are wired for that kind of stuff, even if it's kind of messed up, you know?
Yeah.
But when does it cross the line? When does being into true crime go from just an interest to like a full-on unhealthy obsession?
That's the question, right? It's really easy to blur that line, especially now when information spreads so fast and everyone's in their own little online world. Like, think about the stuff people are saying about Koberger online. You've got people saying he's some kind of genius who was just misunderstood, or that he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And people grab onto those ideas so quickly, even when there's like not a lot to go on. It's like they're more worried about being right about him than about what actually happened, you know?
Exactly. And that's what's so dangerous about it. When we start thinking about these people like they're, I don't know, celebrities or something, it's too easy to forget about the real people who were hurt. In Koberger's case, those four students, Madison Mogan, Kaylee Goncalves, Zanna Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin, their lives were cut way too short. We have to remember them, their families, what they're going through. That's what matters.
It's awful. And you're right. It's easy to get caught up in the case itself and forget that those were real people with their own lives. Mm. I read that Zanna, she was studying marketing, just 20 years old, loved animals, had two cats. It makes you realize these were real people with families and futures that were taken away.
It's just tragic. Their stories, they really show us what the consequences are, how serious this is. And it's not just about remembering them either. It's also about realizing that, you know, thinking about the accused person in this idealized way can actually make it harder to get justice.
How so?
Well, think about it. It can make it harder to find an unbiased jury. If the people on the jury have already seen all this stuff about how great the accused person is, it's going to be hard for them to see the evidence clearly. You know what I mean?
I never thought about it that way. It's like they're already making up their minds before the trial even starts.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's not just the jury. This kind of obsessive fan behavior, it puts pressure on the police, the lawyers, the whole system.
Like, people care more about defending the story they've created in their heads than letting the justice system do its thing.
That's it. And that's how you end up with wrongful convictions, more pain for the victims and their families. It's a whole messed up cycle. You know, Koberger's lawyers are even trying to use this to their advantage, saying he was just like a big true crime fan who got carried away with his imagination.
Whoa. So they're trying to say that because he was into true crime, that's why I don't even know what to say to that. It's kind of scary how easy it is to get sucked in, right?
Yeah.
One minute you're reading at a case and maybe you feel, I don't know, not sympathy really, but something for the accused. And then suddenly you're in the middle of all these stories, and who knows if they're even true?
It happens so gradually, and it goes back to what we've been talking about, you know, the power of a good story, especially with true crime. Our brains just crave those narratives, and sometimes we get so caught up in it, we kind of forget about what really matters.
And in this case, what matters is getting justice for Madison, Kaylee, Zanna, and Ethan. And remembering the huge loss that their families are going through.
Exactly. It's about recognizing how serious these crimes are, the pain they cause. We have to approach these cases with empathy, but also think critically about everything.
You know, this whole conversation has really made me think about how I look at true crime. Being curious about why people commit crimes is one thing, but I don't want that to ever overshadow the victims.
I think that's a really important thing for everyone to keep in mind. It's fine to be interested in these dark parts of human nature to try to understand why these things happen, but we can't forget about the human cost. We have to be empathetic, use our heads, and always remember that justice is the goal.
At the beginning of this deep dive, I mentioned that I really wanted to understand why it seems like women especially are drawn to people like Koberger. And honestly, I don't know if we're ever going to have a simple answer to that.
And that's okay. Sometimes the most important part of these conversations isn't finding all the answers. It's more about being comfortable with not knowing everything and accepting that human behavior is really complex.
It's about being willing to ask those difficult questions, to challenge what we think we know, and never forgetting that even when a case is all over the news, there are real people whose lives have been changed forever.
That's exactly it. The Koberger case, everything about it, reminds us how true that is.
So what do we do with all of this? What should our listeners take away, especially if they're like me, trying to balance being into true crime with, you know, not forgetting about the victims and wanting justice for them?
It starts with being aware of how the media can influence us, aware of our own biases and weaknesses, but most importantly, aware of what these crimes really mean for the victims. We can honor their memories by talking about these cases in a responsible way, thinking critically, and always keeping justice in mind. And if you find yourself drawn to a particular case, take some time to learn about the people who were hurt, their lives, their stories. That's where you'll find real empathy and understanding.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.